It's the Tiltcast, episode 226.
Menergy!
Menergy!
And this week we talk a lot of Destiny, House of Wolves.
Power Thirst.
We talk about Witcher 3, Zells, Massive Chalice, and Menergy.
Muscles.
Stay tuned.
Much muscles, many
Temple
muscles.
Punch.
Temple Punch.
Power Thirst. Punch.
Power Thirst.
Yeah!
Woo!
Energy.
Energies.
Minergy.
Minergy.
Do you remember those commercials?
Yes.
Power Thirst.
Make you run as fast as, wait for it, Kenyans.
Kenyans.
We didn't make that up, folks. That really happened.
Power Thirst.
Look it up. Some good commercials. Like...
That actually came up not too long ago and just random conversation at work. Just,
really?
Yeah, I was just like...
It was like one of those joke things before there were really memes.
Yeah.
Like, the Power Thirst thing has been on YouTube for...
A while.
A decade or something.
A while. I don't know. I think I had popped a no-dose at work, and I was a little hyper and started going off and started rattling shit off. And Tim's like, Power Thirst! And I'm like, yes, Power Thirst! And... That went on for an entire day.
Rip open a phone book or something?
Yeah!
Hulk out?
I did, a little, maybe. I hurt myself.
So, no way I'm critting this, but in certain places of employment, I was trying to help move stuff, you know? Because we scoot around every so often.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that one of the desks was really attached. So, like, sometimes we move drawers, and some of the desks, those are attached and some of them are not. Well, I was like, this one seems kind of stuck. And so I jerked on it and pretty much pulled down the whole damn desk.
Nice.
I pulled it out and I was like, oh, there was a screw on there and on the back somewhere. There's like one screw, but you know, like the desk was heavy. There's stuff in it. So I did think, I thought, this is just really heavy. So I pulled real hard and then it just like I heard a crash and like the whole desk fell over.
And I had to admit to
maintenance what I did. And I was like, I fixed it. It was really kind of sitting on there. And then, you know, he gave me the Popeye eye. You know who I'm talking about.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And I got a stern talking to.
Of course you did.
It's like talking to Dad.
It is very much like talking to Dad.
I'm mental picturing something to the order of Office Space and just making yourself a Windows.
But when, but when you think about it, in his defense, he has had to deal with a lot of stupid shit regarding facilities and some dumbass people. In all the years he's been there.
I'm pretty sure I fit into the category of dumbass people for a little bit. He said, could you not have been so lazy? And then he gave me a big speech. I was like, I was trying to be efficient, not lazy.
There's a fine line between efficiency and laziness. I tried to skirt
like,
that line as much as possible.
Well, and here's the sad thing. So I was helping my friend move. And I'm not going to say who it was. I don't want to incriminate said person.
Mm-hmm.
But... their desk was literally catacorner to where I was at. So they could have pulled said things out and put them in the drawer over there.
No, no.
But.
I remember doing that shit, moving from place to place.
We all took drawers out, put them in chairs, and moved.
Yeah. I mean, having, you know, accumulated 8 years worth of junk. You just, and you do a note.
Think about, like, the supervisor desk stuff. Like, on top of my junk, I have actual, like, folders. And
no. I actually had a supervisor desk at one point. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I bet you filled that fucker
up. Oh, God.
Yeah.
When I had to go back to one of the normal things, it was like trying to squeeze everything that you've got on your supervisor desk onto, you know, onto that and still be able to function.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rusty didn't, like, do the manly, like, single-tier thing. No, no. There were actual tears when he lost that desk.
Well, you know, I mean, it was comfy. There was something about it when I could just kind of lean back, put my chair up against one part of the desk, and put my foot up on the other end of the desk, and the people I was talking to were none the wiser. Of course, I had to watch when, you know, supervisors were around. But people.
Like
people.
Me.
Yeah, like you. Or something. I mean, I didn't really count David. I didn't. But, anywho, that place. I'm so glad.
So stuff has happened in 2 weeks, hasn't it? We recorded a pretty...
Lots of stuff.
I think we recorded one of our best videos today. Maybe not the funniest, but I think that we recorded probably the most focused video we have ever done.
Yes.
Witcher 3.
Witcher 3. Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's only because, well...
We didn't really want to spoil anything, but we sort of... I mean, those three quests that we did, we basically did, like, three monster quests.
Mm-hmm. Three Witcher quests.
And all we wanted people to see was just, like, the mechanics of how that worked. And we got three very different mechanics on it.
Yep.
We had good commentary. We had a really good video in it. We even played around a lot with the settings with OBS, trying to get the best quality picture ever. But
right.
I think at this point, it may be one of those times for me to upgrade to something I pay for at some point.
Yeah, you might.
So that I can get better quality video.
I don't think the problem is with OBS, honestly. I think it was just... I think it's just streaming in general. You're not going to get the quality that you
want.
But
I've seen better streams. I've seen some really high quality streams, and I need to find some software out there that will...
I think it has everything to do with your capture card and not so much with the actual
program.
There was
no capture card involved with OBS. It's just software.
There might be a problem. That might be the problem is what I'm trying to say. If you use a capture card of some sort that works with it, it takes a little bit more of the processing power off of the computer, so you can do that.
Yeah, I have an outdated capture card.
Yeah, you do.
But it's not
running
still
got
that.
It's still got one of the little twist things on, right? The coax cable connection?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, shit. I used to have one of those.
It's a hoppage, though. I mean, when we started to do some videos a long time ago, and the captures I got from 360 with it are actually really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really... The software's outdated for it. Like, I can't do game capture for my PC with it.
Right.
Which is weird.
Well, I mean, my capture card was out of date about a year after I bought it anyway, so I understand. I understand for sure. But then again, I bought the capture card, and capture card was back in the day. This is my first foray into college.
I thought you were going to say it was Creative Labs.
It might have been. I don't know. I mean... this was my first foray into college, and I had gotten a dorm room, and I couldn't fit a TV in there, but I had a monitor the size of a TV, so I wanted to use double duty on it, and I got a capture card so that I could do that on my PC, and it had...
Did it have an antenna tuner on it?
It did.
I remember when I was a kid, I set up a card on my grandmother's computer. And this was not even like a Pentium 1. This was like, baseline Celeron processor.
Yeah.
And it had a TV tuner on it, and it had a cable input, so you could put a cable input on it,
mm-hmm.
and you had a physical switch on the PC, like, you know, you modded the mm-hmm. case so it stuck out the front a little bit, and you switched it from antenna to cable. And when you switched to cable, you had to have, you know, the cable box sitting over there, so you had to change channels on that, and then... The other, you just use software to change channels with the antenna.
Yep. Man, those were the days. Back then, though, I mean, you know, on the campus, we got what would be considered...
This was back in, like, 1996.
Yeah, this is 1999, 2000-ish for me. And, you know, the campus had basic cable. So all I had to do was just hook up a TV to it, and we had TV. And, of course, this is Michigan... Basic cable is about 50 more channels than you normally get over the air anyway.
Yeah.
You had your major networks, NBC and CBS. ABC and Fox were completely out of the fucking picture at that point. You just couldn't get them. But, yeah. That's an old PC build, man. That's rotten someplace in a junk pile somewhere.
If that wasn't one of the junk piles we threw away when you moved.
No, I don't. I got rid of that a long time ago, I think. Oh, I can't count how many PC builds I've done.
I've done a shitload, too.
I cannot count.
I remember the days when everything basically had Christmas lights, too, and that became a thing.
Yes.
It's like, I remember getting a mod kit that had, like, a bunch of, like, neon tubing. Like, actual neon tubing.
Yes!
And I ran it through the inside of my case.
Why would you want to do that? It's just
another
heat source.
And I got a pair of pliers and, like, a fucking torch and, like, made some horns and
wow, yeah.
made this, like, devil PC that I had for a while.
I've seen some really cool ones. I mean,
and then, you know, they started making the pre-made lights and stuff like that, and
yeah, and then LEDs came out, and man, that changed the shit right there.
You know. It's better than like basically imprinting some really shitty looking devil horns on the top of my PC in neon.
I saw somebody had a lava lamp inside their computer at one point. I'm like, oh Jesus, really?
I remember taking a compact Pentium one that a friend of my dad gave us for me to upgrade from my 486.
That'll run from San Diego.
They did.
You know what? My parents taught me right, though. They bought the good machine for them, and then they bought me, like, the old DOS PC.
Hand-me-downs.
That had been upgraded to have Windows 3.1 on it, so it barely ran Windows 3.1.
Okay.
So I had to run any kind of game through DOS, right?
Ah, well, you know, I mean, that's...
Then they upgraded to the...
Duke Nukem, the 2D.
Right.
Yeah, the old 2D, you know, the 2D, yeah.
Then the
guy... tank game.
Then, yeah, what the fuck was the tank game.
Oh, God, the tank game.
The four-player tank game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That you could run through a net.
Yeah. That's kind of neat. That's memory lane right there.
So, anyway, got this 386. I was like, and I saw this thing online, the infancy of the internets. Dude hooked up Christmas lights to different components on the PC so they'd all go off when different shit ran. So, I took one colored strand and double wired it into the bus on the CD drive, another color on the hard drive, another color on the main power supply.
Oh, I'm looking up Christmas light PC mods right now. I'll see if YouTube has anything that I can take a look at. Oh, image search. Woo! OMG. That's right, I just used OMG. It's not even a big picture. He's got Christmas lights coming through the case.
It's not a bad idea. It looks like a light bright, but...
It does look like a light bright.
Oh, you poor kids out there that don't know what a light bright is. Many, many hours on a light bright, dude. I don't know. Construction paper was a fucking commodity that I could not find anymore. I stole it from school.
Speaking of image searches, Sean sent me something.
Oh, what? What?
Here you go. And there you go.
I could have gone my entire life without seeing that.
You, sir, the source, are a douchebag. And he is a douche nozzle.
I can count how many frames there was that I saw before. That was terrible. It's the worst gif ever, dude. Don't ever do that. Oh.
Scorched.
Okay. God.
I saw the color come in, and I turned the phone because I knew it was coming up next.
Yeah, you bastard. Because
he told me, he's like, hey, I have some important things that you need to know at work. And he sends that to me at work. I was like, oh, I've been fucking McKnighted.
Yeah, you have.
Fat man waving his penis around.
Oh, jeez. I could do without.
Oh, dude.
All right. I'm
horrible.
Looking up something to palate cleanse.
Well, I can help you with that, too, but before I do that...
He's got Pornhub all up now.
No. No, I was actually going to bring up an important story.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's not... It's something actually Trent posted.
Oh?
So I'm just going to read this aloud.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Did Jason read this or no?
I don't think he has.
So, Jason...
Hmm.
Someone posts, I'm
telling you.
Someone posted, did I turn my boyfriend into a vampire? Okay, so I have a new boyfriend. Yay! We've been seeing each other for about a month now. Yeah, I gotta zoom in. This is hard to read on the little phone. Fuck. I have to turn this sideways. There we go. Alright, now. Anyway, the other night we had a Twilight marathon. I love Twilight.
And yeah, a dream of mine is to have a vampire boyfriend. I've been experimenting with eating my own blood ever since the Twilight books first came out. I consider myself to be a vampire now. Wait for it. I usually just save the blood I lose naturally each month. I usually keep the tampons in the freezer, etc. and suck on them and eat them later. I decided that I would try and turn my new boyfriend. So I've been cooking my blood into his food when he comes over. Tried making blood pudding as well. But that only works if I've had a heavy flow. You need a lot of blood. So I usually just add... this is so bad. I can't read it.
Yay. Great.
That's awesome. Just add a little bit of blood into the marinade and the pasta sauce, etc. He has absolutely no idea, winky face. I've been doing this for about 3 to 4 weeks. Do you think he'll be a vampire by now?
Oh, God.
Seriously?
Oh. So wrong.
This is why Twilight sucks.
Oh. Damn, that was a... I tried to physically reject everything that you were just saying. It was terrible.
So, guys... or girls.
No.
If your girl is into Twilight... do some research.
Do some research or cook your own food.
Make sure you're the one that cooks.
Oh, man, that's just fucking wrong. I'm sure that was a troll post. I hope to God that's a troll post.
It's gotta be.
That's so wrong.
And if it is a troll post, it is like the best troll post ever.
It elicited a response from my boss, and he doesn't normally respond to these things, but then again, of course, he's had some bad experiences in the past, so that one probably hit him a little harder than it should have.
Somebody's like, so we're in the bedroom, are you in the Red Wings?
The lights off. I'm going to stop right now.
You probably should.
You know, and sometimes, I mean, if you came up looking like you just survived cannibalism.
Am I bleeding? Is... Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
All right. We need to move on from that. That right there is probably as close to poop that...
You know what? And I didn't throw up.
You didn't?
I didn't, but if we were talking about...
You ate
poop? If we're going to talk about a poop bucket, that would probably make me throw up.
Okay, well,
and
I
actually,
mean,
speaking of poop buckets, like Holly was reminding me about this whole...
poop buckets.
This whole thing where her and Trent and her old friend Andrew went, like, exploring the tunnels, like, underneath Tulsa, and they found a poop bucket, and then her boyfriend at the time fucking hurled. I was like, you know what? I don't blame him, because poop buckets are gross.
Okay.
But kind of leading into that, so I ended up seeing the show on Saturday. And friend Holly, friend of the show, on the show occasionally now, used to be more, she's not working her ass off, wanted me to go there to see Flogging Molly. And of course, I was like, fucking yes, because I fucking love Celtic music mixed with some punk rock. Mm-hmm. And they have amazing drinking songs.
Of course they do.
It's pretty much like 50% drinking songs, 50% Irish songs, 50%, tie it somehow into politics, who cares? But really fun to see live. I don't remember what the first band was. They were basically a really bad Misfits knockoff. And then we wanted to see Gogo Bordello, but they didn't play either. And they're an even crazier, weird, folky punk thing that she got me into a long time ago. But so we went and saw Flogging Molly. Of course, we were driving around, and we wanted to get drunk, but we really wanted to be up close, and I didn't realize there was like two acts. So when we got up there, we did the show, and like as soon as we got up there, it was just, there was no turning back. So they played for like 2 hours. So like I ended up drinking a beer and then staying up and sweating my fucking ass off, trying not to get my feet stomped on, because I was like, oh man, it's such a great day to like wear sandals because my feet are so hot from working and wearing these shoes all day. So I wore fucking sandals, which is a big ass mistake.
Yeah.
My feet got stepped on multiple times, and then I got splashed with beer, and I remembered why I never wear sandals to any kind of show unless it's a sit-down show.
Dumbass.
But, yeah, I was a dumbass. I agree with you on that statement. I was a dumbass for wearing sandals to any kind of show, even remotely fun.
Well, at least you didn't wear socks.
I'm not that douchey. I thought douchey or just dumb. Remember a time, though, back in the late 90s where that was kind of a thing, and you'd wear those funky sandals that, like, just had a strap across the top, and wear socks with those?
Oh. Rusty knows about those.
Like my pair of Adidas sandals I used to wear.
What?
Socks with sandals?
Wait, are you talking about my old sandals? Are you talking about my old sandals like that? My old sandals died a heroic death while fucking cleaning out your fucking pool, ass. I've had those for a while. They were my favorite sandals to wear socks with. Fuck!
I was say, we almost didn't make the show because we forgot that there was a gay pride parade
going on. Oh, yeah.
And so we were driving, and I was like, why is there so much traffic? We were just scooting around downtown. I was like, Riverside's closed.
Why did you do that?
And then we drove, and I was like, that was a bunch of shirtless men running down the road. I guess we got stuck in gay pride.
I got invited to go to that.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
You should have probably gotten drunk off your ass.
Oh, yeah. I would have been.
You should have wore your outfit.
My outfit. What are you talking about?
You should have just wore the ears.
You could have fulfilled plenty of bear fantasies with that suit.
I'm leaving.
King of the furries.
I'm taking my laptop with me.
You should have wore a shirt that says, I'm a bae.
Oh, shit. Oh, you assholes.
That's B-A-E, isn't it?
Oh, you're...
It's a bear without hair. It's a bae.
Oh, that's wrong. Just wrong. I honestly would have actually gone. I would have. If I hadn't been busy that weekend.
That's true.
But
I did, like, monopolize all of his weekend.
Yeah, well, we ended up tearing down a deck and building a new one. So
you were doing deck maintenance?
I was doing some deck maintenance.
God, listening, you, new dick.
Did you destroy that dick?
Would you like to come on my deck?
No. It's already glistening.
It's all shiny and new and just washed.
Like morning dew. On a new car.
No, it was ridiculous. It's okay.
We need to stain the deck anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so nobody gets any splinters from my dick.
Well, you guys were having a lot of fun, because I was begging you to play video games with me on Friday night.
Yes, and I really would have, too, but I was fucking dead by the time we were done. Oh. Friday night was the first night, so...
Well,
man.
See, we got... Long story short, we got a later start than we wanted to on tearing down the old one.
Well, let me put that one fucking straight for you. We didn't expect to actually start doing the work until 3 o'clock that day.
Yeah.
When we were sitting in Arby's and I said the words that I wanted to go back and change immediately after saying, we can do it this weekend.
Yeah. You know, I'm sitting there saying, we're going to buy it. We're going to buy everything. Plan this shit out. I'm going to pre-prep some of the stuff, like, throughout the week. Cut deck boards, whatever. He's like, dude, we can do it this weekend.
Oh, man.
Not a problem.
I regret those fucking words.
See, the problem is the...
Rusty's mouth. That's what the problem is.
Yeah. Well, the old deck...
In your big goddamn mouth.
In Rusty's defense, the old deck was a whole lot worse off than we expected.
Yeah.
It fell apart. when we started trying to take it apart section by section,
it fell.
We were having to keep the thing from falling on top of us.
Yeah. It was... We took off one section of it, and that was the sturdiest section, apparently, because when we took that off, the rest of it just fell apart.
Yeah, the
which made pulling it apart pretty freaking easy.
You know, that second ramp down it?
I see that.
Once we removed that, the whole rest of it started to want to come forward. Because those front posts were the only ones actually in concrete.
The rest of it had been
rubber. That came with the house, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, that came with the house.
Yeah, so...
Time to do your own thing.
That was not a Jason installation, so...
It looked like a Jason installation.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
Well, you're a lot of things, but a carpenter you're not.
No. No. But I do have serviceable enough skills to build one that's not going to fall apart within 2 years.
I know
2 years, I can give that. And let's mark this shit down. Everybody mark it on your fucking calendars. If it's still standing in 2 years, you get a goddamn cookie. I don't know. Fuck. I know what you'll get. You'll get that one bite of potato salad that I never got. There.
So, you know I like shows.
Of course you do. Would you...
I went and saw another show. That's why we're recording late, actually.
Son of a bitch.
We're actually recording on Tuesday instead of... Or Monday instead of Sunday.
Where's your fucking day?
I lost a fucking day,
Where
dude.
Where is my mind? Where is his mind? So, me and Trent and John Carousel...
Excuse me.
Actually, I went and saw a band last summer called Sloppy Seconds, which is an old punk band.
Sloppy Seconds.
Kind of self-styled as garage junk punk. Basically, they're a little bit slower punk rock, but they have a lot of really fucking goofy lyrics. Some of them are incredibly offensive, but they're one of the last touring bands. We saw them with the Queers last time. The Queers were pretty good. Then... They were playing their first show ever in Tulsa. So I got invited by Trent and went up there, and then he had life happen and wasn't able to make it. Then my friend Josh, who's also a big punk rocker, decided he couldn't come. Then my friend Rob, my old drummer, decided he couldn't come. Then my friend Ryan, who used to be in my band, also decided he couldn't come. And then John's wife's in town, so he couldn't come. Very good excuse, because she's been in Germany and all over Europe. And so I ended up going all by myself to see a legendary punk band. And there's only like 10 bands like them and DRI and part of Black Flag tour. You got Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys that plays in his own band now, but the Dead Kennedys don't tour. You got Henry Rollins, but he doesn't tour anything other than spoken word, which is funny. But most of those bands aren't around anymore.
I am looking up. No, that's wrong. Never mind.
Don't do an image search on that.
Sloppy Seconds?
Yeah.
Click.
But they play a killer show. And so I saw there's a local band called Streetlight Fights, which is an old school like hardcore punk band that did fucking incredible. There was about 15 people there to watch it. I got there incredibly early, not realizing it. And so I ended up just making friends. Like, I was just in a social situation and I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna start talking to people. So I met some girl named Emily that was really cool. Met a guy named Brad. It was also really cool and really fucking high, along with his buddy Kevin, who was incredibly fucking high. But they were really funny. Then I met some people from Denver. I'm trying to remember everybody's names, and I can't right off the top of my head. I think his name was Tom. He was like 6'7", and like travels the country, like watching punk rock shows.
Sweet.
With his wife, and he's like in his 40s, and like I guess he has a regular job during most of the year, and then for 3 months out of the year, like I guess he's. Works at a private school or something. For 3 months, he goes and follows tours.
Awesome!
So that's it's his summer break kind of thing.
That sounds like an amazing thing.
So him and his wife both do that, and then they brought some friends with them. So I met a bunch of people from Denver, which is kind of ironic since I work for a company based out of there and occasionally go there. I was kind of born there. I ended up hanging out with a lot of people I didn't know, but had a good time. I got incredibly drunk. I didn't realize I was going to get this drunk, but the beer was really cheap. It was $2 a can. I was drinking hipster beer. I'm not going to lie. I was drinking PBR because it was fucking cheap. And I was on a budget, and this budget just kept growing. I brought like $40 in cash, and I spent all $40 on cheap beer.
Of course you did.
What else do you buy?
Oh, never mind.
Could have bought a shirt.
Oh.
But I already got
merch.
A shirt.
What?
Yeah. But I was on a budget.
Budget.
Some things happened.
Things happened at a punk rock show. What?
So, I got really into it. Not going to lie. Like, in a while, it's been a while since I've gotten into a pit, but, like, you know, I'm like, I'm seeing all these, like, real old crusty punks up there. And, like, you know, some of these are people that I kind of remembered seeing my shows from way back when, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to have fun, you know? I haven't done this in a while. I got right, like, almost right up front. One person back. And then that whole place filled up. It was about... So this is not a big... This is a dive. And in this dive, there's 250 people crammed in like sardines. And I am the second person from the stage. And, of course, I went up. I took a picture with BA, who's the main guy, Sloppy Seconds. I was talking to him, and I guess they all do regular jobs, and they get together and tour every now and then. But they're from Indianapolis, and most of the time they just tour a little section of the country, and that's it. And... It's like, yeah, actually, we're going to play a couple of new songs that nobody's ever heard before because we started kind of writing again, which I thought was really fucking cool. Two songs from the end, when I was going to hear said new songs, the guy in front of me, like, keep in mind, punk rock show, very active crowd. Most of them are being pretty nice for what it is. I mean, you know, moving all over the place. It is packed and pushed, and everybody's tied against each other.
It's a courteous beatdown.
It is. It was a very courteous beatdown for the most part, until the guy in front of me got sick of being pushed and elbowed me and hit me square in my glasses and broke them.
Oh.
So.
And that's how the fight started.
I tapped him on the shoulder very politely and pointed at my glasses, and he laughed at me. And I hit him as hard as I could in the temple, and I think I knocked him out.
Sweet.
And then a very big bouncer, literally, who was on stage, pulled me out of the crowd and then pushed me out the door. And so I was too drunk to kind of realize exactly what happens. Like, did I just get kicked out?
Yeah, no.
I was like, I still had my beer in my hand.
You got kicked out of a punk rock concert, or punk rock show.
And I got kicked out. I was really disappointed. I was like, I wanted,
I wanted to hear the new shit.
And I was mad.
Of course you were mad. Somebody broke your glasses, and now you don't even get to hear this, the new songs.
I know. I was really mad. So this morning I had to... I didn't explain the whole story. But I said my glasses are broke. I can't come to work right now. Posted a picture of my broken glasses. And then I had to go up to this place called Empire Optical here that can fix anything. And so what they did is they just...
Put some electrical tape on there.
No, you can't tell from here, but if you look at it, this is different than this.
Indeed it is. One side is old grandma.
Yeah. So they tried to match it fairly close. I think it...
Yeah, you can't tell if it's... Unless you, like, really look at it.
For 40 bucks, like, repairing an irreparable thing because the whole mount was broke on this. And she said she blended it as much as she could and then put a new piece on it because this was fucking destroyed. I'm okay with that because these are expensive pair of frames and I'll just deal with it for a while or get another side to match at some point. But unless you, like, actually look at it,
you can't really tell.
No, from a distance you can't.
So, yeah, my glasses got broken. I knocked a fucker out. And, you know, searching all over town.
I punched the motherfucker in the temple, and he went down. Like, and the next thing I know...
I felt really bad at first because it's like, I didn't mean to hit him that hard. Did I kill him? You know, it's like this. Like, have you ever gotten a fight with, like... You don't have any brothers, do you, Jason?
I have two.
Yes, he does.
So you've gotten fights with your brothers, you hit him so hard you actually felt bad?
You're asking him that.
Were you the younger or the older brother?
Oh, I was the oldest.
So, like, I hit my brother so hard, like, I felt like I might have actually done something that I'm going to regret later that's going to stay with him the rest of his life. You pull your punch a little bit because it's your brother.
There were a couple times I thought I might have broken a rib, but then I realized my hand wasn't broken, so I was safe.
I'm going to gauge his damage by my damage.
But
I mean, you can see part of it, but I mean, like, I hit him with this knuckle, but I grazed something on his face, something.
I will fully admit to holding, at one point, holding one of them in a chokehold until he was almost asphyxiated because, you know, I can call my mom a cunt.
Asphyxiated?
Yeah, asphyxiated.
Asphyxiated.
Whatever.
It's okay.
Whatever, I've been up since 6:30 this morning. I'm not bringing anything.
You know,
right
I had
now.
To, like, do some serious prep work this morning, too, or last night. Like, I knew that I drank too much. So, immediately what I did is I had some, like leftover Gatorade in my fridge.
Mm-hmm.
So I chugged that. I chugged a glass of water. I did my 3 ibuprofen. I made the Atkins equivalent of a sandwich, which is, like, hamburger wrapped in bacon with lettuce on it.
Lettuce wrap bacon burger. Yeah.
And then waited about an hour before I went to bed. So I went to bed at, like, 2. And then woke up and went to work and then realized that my glasses were actually broken. I didn't dream it. And was immediately pissed off.
Just think, somebody out there, that poor fucker that broke your glasses is waking up with a splitting fucking headache right now, going, what the hell happened to me? And you're thinking,
and he was like a guy about my age too. It's just he did the perfect elbow, and caught it right on the corner.
Uh-huh.
Didn't bruise my face, but broke my expensive ass glasses. And I was like, you motherfucker,
dude.
Like, and I don't get in fights that often, but like, there are certain things that trigger. Like getting hit always triggers like it's like a bull, you know? Like
let's just
wave the red cape.
I quit going to concerts altogether when I hit that point of getting somebody's elbow in the back of my head or into my nose.
Well, I can deal with it normally.
And I just straight up flattened the motherfucker on the pavement. I realized I don't need to go to these anymore.
I don't do that very often. But like, there are a few things. Like the last time that I did anything at a show, my girlfriend at the time got really, really, really mad at me. Ex-girlfriend from a couple years ago. And it was kind of a similar thing. It was one of those deals where you got a rowdy crowd or whatever, and that one, somebody straight out, like, hit me, like, because I was too close, so he turned around and, like, hit me right in the head. He hit me right in the forehead, which is a weird place to get hit, so then I obviously just, like, uppercut him in the jaw, and I apparently had a glass jaw, so I just...
This motherfucker's a scrapper!
4 or 5 years ago, I went with my friend Adrian, and we were seeing... What the hell were we seeing? I remember it was like Madball or something, some like underground punk band. With him, I know him, it wasn't that. It was like probably Between the Buried and Me or something. I don't remember. But anyways, I don't remember the show. I just remember what happened at the show, and some scrawny motherfucker was diving up, like getting up on the stage and jumping out and crowd diving. I'm cool with that. I will pass the motherfucker around. Have fun. You're like weigh like 100 pounds. I don't care. You're having fun. But like, he specifically kicked me in the face one time, and it was probably an accident. And I was like, okay. It wasn't real hard. I'll deal with it. And then he comes back around, and then he came down feet first again, and then hit me in the jaw again. I was like, I looked at him. He smiled like everything was cool.
Uh-huh.
And then I headbutted the motherfucker as hard as I could. Because you don't kick me in the face. Like, you know, I was like, you know, you do it once.
Once is an accident.
Yeah, once is
twice
an accident.
Twice is intentional.
Like, when he came down feet first on my face.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't take it anymore. And he's like, and I didn't get kicked out of that show either. But I think the one where I threw the punch was actually a Clutch show, so that seems very appropriate.
Yeah.
But I don't really, like, I'm really not that violent of a person. It's just like certain, like getting hits what triggers me, I guess. I am a motherfucker.
You just need to wear that fucking shirt.
You should have been wearing that shirt last night.
Oh, shit. I haven't seen you driving. I didn't even know it. I knew.
Yeah, I was actually... So, today's National Best Friends Day. I was talking to my best friend, Babs, and I was telling her about it, expecting to get a tongue-lashing about, you know, not fighting at shows. And she's
is
like...
Is it a high five?
No, she basically just said... I'm trying to paraphrase it, but basically said, so you laid him out, right?
Of course you did. If you're going to fucking do it,
like,
you do it right.
And I'm just thinking to myself, I was like, and this is why we're best friends,
exactly.
Because you don't give a fuck.
If you're going to do it right.
Shit, she was right, go lay out a trucker.
Yeah, she almost, we talked about that. And my friend that's like all of 5 feet tall was about to fight a trucker.
Just imagine, just holding their...
It seems like I always make friends with girls that are scrappy in weird ways. Like Holly, the same thing. Like, I remember this one night we were at a... getting drunk at our old dive, Murph's, and she brought a guy from the bar with us because he thought he was cool, and we've later realized he's a big flaming douchebag. But he, this guy, I'm just going to name him because he is a douche. His name's Walt. And we go to this Whataburger to kind of sober up, and I was actually the most sober out of the whole crew. Like, I've been drinking water for like 2 hours because I did know I was driving, and I knew that she wanted to get drunk that night, and, you know, I was going to be safe about it. And she actually lived the same place that me and Trent did, like three doors down or whatever it was, a building over. So I was, she's just going to ride with me, and I was going to drive her home. And get into Whataburger at like 2:30 in the morning, and there are some good dudes coming from the caravan in their shit kickers and cowboy hats, and they are talking some serious shit the entire night. And Holly just went over there and started talking shit. I was like, Holly, there's one of me. And she's like, there's me too. It's like, you don't count.
I'm what? Sorry, you're so tiny.
I was like, one of the few times that, like, I did just decide to cut my losses. Like, I was like, there's four of them, and they're, you know, cowboy size. Like, plowboy size. Not, like, skinny dudes and shit kickers. Like, big old hoss boys talking some serious shit. Just big old country boys. And they were talking some smack, and I'll let Holly take some smack.
So, dudes, like, between your height and my height, and probably outweighing me by 60 pounds.
Yeah, like, two of them are rusty size. Like, they were ready. They're ready to throw down.
Holy shit, I could be a cowboy. Oh my god! I'm sorry, but whatever that was really loud, and I just killed it.
So that was like the one time, and Holly's like, well, I got Mason. I was like, that's not a fight. But she was trying to start some shit, and she was getting on me for talking him down. I was like, Holly, you were antagonizing four dudes, and I was the only one backing you up, and Walt wouldn't have done shit. I was like, I'd have might have taken one, maybe two, if I was less drunk than they were.
Let me go call my posse.
That shit happens. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, here, for reals. So that's, you know.
Dude. I was guessing. He didn't tell me anything about this until just now. I learned it the same time you guys did, and I was guessing that he started a fucking fight.
I just did him.
That's a true statement.
I
don't talk shit to people. Like I said, at that show, I made a lot of friends. Like, I really did. Like, two really high motherfuckers, a girl that was wearing, like, half her pants, and some people from Denver that were also nudists.
And
they wanted me to come to the hotel later. I was like, that's a little more than I need to experience right now. I don't know what I'm getting myself into if I do that.
I don't know. That's kind of... You earned the cred.
So I was very friendly that night.
Of course you were friendly.
Until somebody elbowed me in the face and broke my $400 glasses.
That's not cool. Hey, man. Them Ray-Bans aren't cheap.
Well, these are fucking Armani's. I used to have a pair of Ray-Bans.
Oh, that's right. The Ray-Bans were the old ones.
I'm not a fashionista. I mean, obviously, I wear T-shirt shorts with everything.
No, but...
But the one thing that I do spend money on, because they are so crucial to my survival, is my glasses.
Yeah.
Like, when I was driving today with one hand on one side as it was unfocused trying to drive, it's fucking scary, because I am basically blind. I have the worst... It's almost as bad as astigmatism as you can get away with without, like, having to have new eyes. You know?
Bionic eyes.
I wish I could have bionic eyes.
Fucking Jordy.
Wear an air filter on my face.
No, upgraded Jordy. Let's go with the cool one.
Oh, the one with the weird eyes?
Yeah. Those fucking eyes were awesome.
I don't know. No. I don't think so. The air filter was probably a little bit better.
It was more comforting.
Yeah. It just looked weird.
I'm sure, but at a certain point he was like, I am sick of looking through the fucking eye holes on this goddamn
actually,
thing.
Actually, I mean... I'm going to show my nerddom here, but he hated them damn things because they pinched his temples. They had to put them in.
Yeah, LeVar Burton.
He had to wear them in such a way that they were so tight on his temples that he would get headaches.
And really, the what they originally wanted to do with him was the contacts, like they ended up doing. Starting in First Contact, but you know, the graphics and the actual contacts back in the day, in Next Generation days, were horrible.
They didn't have green screen back then.
You know, so, well, they did, but didn't mean it worked as well. So, you know, until the early 2000s, it just wasn't there to do the contacts and make them look like they really wanted to, so they came up with eye filter.
Whatever.
I mean, wow, holy fucking... That,
holy fucking,
that
what?
Fucking tangent, man. That tangent hit bottom and skipped a few times. Vroom, vroom, vroom. We were talking about beating a motherfucker in the face. I still want to talk about that. That's kind of cool. All right.
Well, I'm not glorifying fights. I just it is what it is. For a long time, I used to do.
In your defense, I would have done nothing different. No, had that been me, I would have done the same thing.
I tend to go to a lot of rough shows, and it's
he didn't have enough room to do a Stone Cold Stunner. Okay, he had to do with what he had.
What's a Stone Cold Stunner?
Stone Cold Stunner. Oh God, if Earl was here, he'd
tell
you.
I'm not a WWE or WWE.
You gotta kick him right here.
Yeah.
When they bend forward because you kicked him in the gut, you turn around, grab their head, put it on your shoulder, and then drop.
That actually would break somebody's neck if we did it right.
Well, I'm a motherfucker.
I don't need to go to jail.
You thought you killed the motherfucker.
I hit him really hard. But you know how it is. Like
anytime you hit somebody else, and you stand back and you're like, "Did I just kill him?"
Well,
that right there earns you the "I am a motherfucker" T-shirt.
Well, and I've never been physically removed in such a way because, like I said, I was in the middle of a crowd, and somebody grabbed me by my shoulders. Very big man.
Yeah.
Very big man.
Anybody that can pick you up out of the fucking crowd and toss you.
And grabbed me by the shoulders and just pulled me out of the crowd. Like, pulled me across the stage, off the stage, and put me in front of the door and said, and just kept pushing me until I was out the door. Kind of lucky that guy didn't hit me because he had some big fists.
The way that you're describing him, I'm seeing a small giant.
You would have had to go into cheat mode. I mean, that'd been one of those things. You'd have to punch him in the throat or kick him in the balls.
All right,
to
here.
Earn advantage.
Earl would be upset if I didn't do it.
Okay, we'll watch.
Boom.
Wow. Oh. Okay.
That right there is a Stone Cold Stunner.
Stone Cold Stunner.
Yes.
Second only to the people's elbow.
Earl would be very, very proud of me for bringing up some kind of wrestling on the show while he's
not
here.
Said I brought up wrestling just for you.
All right. I don't think I have his new
number. I mean, the only things better than that are sweet gym music and the people's elbow.
I've heard of the people's elbow. That's a rock thing, right?
We got to stop. Earl's gonna hear this, and he's going to go, "Oh, you could! I could almost
right?
hear the face palm."
Was it right or no? I wasn't right, was it?
You're wrong.
Who's the people's elbow?
Yeah, it was The Rock.
Now, what'll happen is I'll hear him at work because Earl's not a quiet person. He doesn't.
No, he's not.
He'll be listening to you going, "Ah!"
In fact,
and I'll hear it from like 150 feet away, and I was like, "He got to that part of the podcast."
Yeah,
shit.
Earl.
I love you, man.
I love you, man. But you've got two fucking volumes. That is Whisper and Scream. So,
and Whisper is only used because they make him.
He can be this quiet, but he's not.
Don't you dare whisper without him.
No. Ah, damn. I told him he needs to come back on the fucking show.
I swear.
He's just been busy. I mean, you know, family life, and he's been working overtime. And
he said sometime this month he should have.
Yeah, he was going to do it, except that we had to do it Monday.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if you guys just did it on your own, but I still think there needs to be at least three people on the show.
Yeah.
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 Otherwise. Well, I will be honest. Last night,
Would not have been good.
I have fucking crashed after work. I was struggling to stay up as long as I did just so, you know, I wouldn't oversleep or wake up too early.
I always hate that shit. So I mean, because... days off, I've been waking up at like 6 in the morning because it gets so fucking bright. And I just wake up, it's like, oh, I didn't sleep in again.
I knew that going to...
Blackout curtains.
I knew that going to bed at 11:30 or midnight and then waking up at 6:30 was already going to screw me up enough.
Yeah.
So I've had a housewarming party here next week, or this week.
This week.
Woohoo! And I didn't know I was supposed to do a registry, so I made a blanket statement on the party that I don't need a registry. I just need you to bring yourselves and your own booze.
Registry? What the fuck is this, a registry?
Well, Daniel's the one that was telling me, he's like, a true housewarming party requires a registry. I was like, what? I don't need you to buy me anything. I need you to come and bring yourself and booze.
Yeah.
Daniel, yeah.
Well, you know.
So I guess okay, he's going to bring the like only fancy liqueur or something like that.
I'm thinking of the only things that require registry, and that's a marriage and like baby showers. A divorce party.
I've heard of those. That's where you got to pick up chicks.
Hold on a second.
Rebound.
Divorce.
No, that's a real thing.
Party, Oklahoma.
Anytime I have a friend that has hot friends that knows somebody's having a divorce party, that is like...
Craigslist.
That is a gold mine for one-nighters.
All right, so divorce...
I'm not saying those one-nighters are necessarily safe.
No, I mean, I'm a man nearly in his mid-30s who doesn't have children, and it is by choice.
'Tis true.
Divorce parties in Oklahoma. Let's see if I can get to any of these. What?
Here goes Rusty adding to that search history that he'd rather jump in a volcano over.
There's nothing wrong with that
damn search history. Would you rather question?
Are we going to go with a would you rather?
Yeah. So, would you rather...
Oh, my God.
Let your entire family see your entire search history. Incognito mode does not work. Or jump in a volcano.
Jump in a fucking volcano. And melt.
It'll be a quick death.
It'll be better than the death my mother will give me.
It'll be a quick death. See, the internet is supposed to be anonymous.
When we did this at the place we all used to work at, even the majority of the women said volcano.
Yeah, well, you know, my internet search history is a carefully cultivated pit of sorrow and despair that is peppered with all kinds of really nasty bits.
You know how it is? Sometimes it's like the rabbit hole of truth that you go down.
Right?
It's a really shitty rabbit hole of truth.
And then sometimes it leads to things you didn't expect, and it just ends up on your search history.
Right. Like, I didn't know that Shiza was, like, a thing until I saw it. And then I'm like, it's a thing.
What is?
What?
Shiza?
Yes.
What is that?
It would be something you're not interested in.
Really? Well,
Scheiße is German for shit.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not into shit. That is
Scheiße porn.
Two girls, one cup.
And you thought it had something to do with stormtroopers or something, right? Like chicks with stormtroopers?
No. It just ended up being one of those things, you know. I don't know. Well, I do know, but I'm not going to admit it here on the podcast what led me to that. But it was the end of the search. That's for damn sure. I was like, okay.
I think it was just like everything you learned off Rotten.com back when that was a thing.
Well, that too. But, I mean, once I got to that point in my search history, I went, power, that's enough internet for today. It was bad.
I still never made it through all the way through Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, I've done it twice.
Yeah, I just...
Okay, the poop. All right, so...
I just can't do it.
Okay. Being a troll, one of the things that you have to do if you are going to fully understand what a shock sight's going to do to somebody, you kind of have to do it to yourself first. So you end up sitting through the entire thing. I've seen more shock videos than I care to fucking recount. But
this is why you're jumping a volcano.
Right. yeah, so...
True statement.
Jumping in a volcano. Boom. No, I had gotten through... It was... The first 10 seconds of it is perfectly fine. After the 10 seconds is when it starts to get really raunchy. And bad. And very bad. I watched it all the way through 2 times before I could shock somebody with it. Well, and if you're a responsible fucking troll, you'll do this to yourself before you do it to anybody else. Mainly because you want to say, wait, there's a good bit coming up.
I didn't truly see half. I just remember drinking at a party that Trent was at.
Oh, dude, that's the worst time to do that.
And some people gather around a computer like, hey, oh. hey, come here. And it was right in the middle. I was like, oh, there. Like, oh, we all know you hate poop. And I was like, yes, I do. Oh,
that's the worst. I would never, I would definitely dream of doing that at a party where everybody's already kind of at least halfway sloshed.
I was halfway sloshed, and after that, I lost a little bit of lunch. All assisted, over his dishes in his sink.
Assisted by the internet. and he can't really blame you, can he?
No.
No, exactly. So, there's a divorce party going on tomorrow.
Remember this, women. Don't guys like to be invited to divorce parties, because you know why? Sometimes we need friends, too.
Why can't we be friends?
So you're going somewhere else with that.
All right, so... Ooh, wow. All right, so... The random things that happen when you go www. Dot and it pulls up in your search history.
What does it do? What's yours do?
Nothing.
please share.
Nothing?
I think it's one of those jump in the volcano things.
I'm going to do it to me.
Nope.
I'm going to do it to me.
Nope.
No shyness here. Come on.
Nope.
www.pornhub.com. Well.
No, I'm smart. I do that in incognito mode. Which does not necessarily mean you're safe. It's like wearing a broken condom. You're almost protected.
That is never safe, folks. You get a blank window here. www.thesa.com. Facts, something. Probably something political. Oh. DemonSouls.com. Yeah, I'm pretty safe.
My last 5 searches have to do with Destiny, so...
Oh, you know. Speaking of which...
Hey, games. Let's talk about video games.
Holy motherfuck. Look at that segue I just built for you guys.
How excited are we for House of Wolves?
I don't know. I've seen all the content. I'm done. No, I have... I've actually done...
I do kind of give a shit. I got a little bit of the bug, and I was a little bit upset that I couldn't play more with you guys. I finished the single-player stuff, so that I'm ready to do the Horde mode stuff.
So am I.
So I got through that.
In the Prison of Elders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to start that, but I haven't really done it yet.
Neither have I. I haven't either. From what I understand, I haven't been able to get into the end game portion of it. I am level 32. I did end up picking up a couple pieces of newer gear, which starts out at light level 36.
Basically, then, it takes you, if you're at level 31, it just takes you up to 32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then if you have exotic pieces, you can ascend the exotic pieces using exotic shards if you have them, which is a whole lot easier to get than the etheric light or whatever. So I ascended a couple of my exotics because I ended up having extra shards. And that helped a little bit. But when it comes down to some of the new content, it's challenging. I actually like the challenge that they put in there. It's not a pushover at all.
Did you do the new...
I did the new strike.
Yeah.
I did the new strike. The new strike is fun.
I like the structure of the new strike.
It's different in such a way that the boss isn't in just one room. You end up having to chase the boss through the whole level.
Something the coward or...
It's the shadow thief is what it's called. Or something like that.
Like, I've done all the bounties. I figured out where most of the chests are. Like, one of the things that's different is, like, you get these bounties that say, go kill so-and-so in this area. Of course, Destiny doesn't have a fucking map, so you just had to watch YouTube videos to figure out where the fuck they are. But once you find them, basically you... Every few minutes, like, it'll say the wolves are approaching or something like that. And then you'll go to this event, and then you'll kill a boss in said event. But you do, like, four waves of enemies that are getting increasingly harder, and then the last wave, the boss shows up with the group of enemies.
Well, he's got a lot of fucking hit points.
Well, the,
he's not too bad. I've soloed all of them.
The story missions for the new content, if you were playing them on Heroic, it was a good challenge.
It
wasn't easy. I mean, I spent a lot of time when I was soloing those just sitting back with my sniper rifle waiting on it to recharge.
Yeah, well, I was just using the Midas whatever.
The Midas multi-tool?
Midas multi-tool, just because it's got a good zoom
on it. and that pissed me off about this weekend. I was hoping we'd have the deck done in time that we could run the Nightfall and do the weekly strike so I could get my strange coins to get the multi-tool from Zer this weekend.
You gotta understand, the weekly strike, you can do the 9-coin strike. It is match-made, so
I know, but I didn't even have time to do
that. I did that today, which I thought was, fantastic. It means that, every week, without fail, without having to really think about it, I can still get 9 coins. Yeah. So... That's really cool.
Which is a value.
You can match make the Nightfall?
You cannot match make the Nightfall. You can match make the weekly heroic.
Which so, now gives you 9 coins instead of... Was it 6 less?
No, it's 9 coins if you did
it's always been 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of want to play a little bit more. But I want to play with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, once we get into the point where we can do Prison of Elders, it's us three. That, it's a 3-man horde mode. And it's fun, from what I see. And it's got some really cool gear in it, too. So,
yeah, I do like the new unique look on the helmets.
On top of chances for it to drop the new Etheric Light, so you can
ascend stuff. I want some Etheric Light, like, really bad. And I'm weighing the option. Light level, or... 364 damage, Fatebringer. One of the two.
Fatebringer.
Definitely, because, I like the multi-tool, but I want my Fatebringer to be up there. And then, of course, I kind of also...
Well, I got a new shotgun. Like, that new sidearm is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I say sidearm because when you're... Normally you have, like, a shotgun or fusion rifle or whatever. Well, they added a pistol to the sidearm ranks. Mm-hmm. It's got arc damage, and it holds, like, what, 120 shots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That all do a little bit more than regular damage, so, like, it hits for, like, 400 or 500.
It's great for any fallen.
It's great for anything. It actually works great for anything with arc shields.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even used it to drop Blades of Crota fairly easily.
Right, well... I just kind of like the idea of having a Fatebringer at max, and then that sidearm at max, and when I'm out of, when I run out of the bullets in the mag for my Fatebringer, I swap over, I do that one, because that one's got a faster reload than the Fatebringer does.
And then, I routinely found myself out of, like, special ammo because I was using it so much.
Right, it finally actually gives the secondary ammo a use, and that's one of the things.
My one bitch about shotguns is, like, you have 18 shots or something like that, and you're done. So you end up using it only in very situational.
Well, I did Omnigul today, and that was the weekly heroic. And it was, There's another thing with the Weekly Heroic, so let me get back to that. But the thing is when you're rocking around with the sniper rifle, especially with Omnigals, and she just flies around all over the place.
She's got an arc shield, doesn't she?
She's got an arc shield, yes. But if you're using a sniper rifle, it really, I mean, you got 15 shots, if that, you know?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't seem to, like, do enough damage. When I was like, you know, screw this, I swapped over and got that pistol. And I was swapping between the Mida and that to, you know, take her down, and it was way faster to do it that way. I was able to put way more damage.
Imagine three people with those pistols taking her shields down in like 2 seconds, and then
you still need somebody with a swapping over. I need an elemental primary, and I still don't have one.
The only one I've got is the one from Vault of Glass, the Void.
Oh, the Atheon's...
Atheon,
whatever.
I'm sure you can ascend it to where it's useful, but having a...
Not that particular one.
That particular one doesn't really have any impact to it. So, sure, the damage rate is high, but unless it's... Unless you're using it against...
One of the Minotaurs. The Minotaurs. It'll rip a Minotaur apart because it's got void damage. Shields. But it doesn't really have a whole lot of impact. It's one of those really, it's the really quick firing auto rifles. So it's just a bunch of peas you're shooting.
Atheon Zeppelin?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
You know, just something kind of random. You're talking about, I did remember one fight that did really catch me off guard, and that was the one where you got to capture the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And the City of the Clouds.
That's the last story mission.
That one is particularly hard solo. On Heroic.
I ended up fine.
I ended up finding a spot on top of a building that was isolated enough that I wouldn't get hit and just shooting the boss because I kind of got overwhelmed.
Well, I ended up killing everything and
go far enough back, they just instantly, they auto-respawn.
Well, I found one spot where when he fired, it would hit a wall, but I was firing around the wall. So it was... I was able to DDoS
him. I cheated at it, too. I just found a spot where I could just see his head.
Mm-hmm.
And he would shoot at me and occasionally hit me, but
right,
not faster than my shield could charge.
Right. So, I mean, I was able to do it that way. There was a couple other things. Oh, there's at least one new modifier for like, the Weekly Heroic and Nightfalls and stuff like that. It's called Brawler. Well, it's the first one of those that is only for the Guardians. It's only for the players. It gives all Guardians a super hit. Like, their melee attacks do a whole lot of damage. Like, my Warlock was doing almost 5,000 damage per melee attack.
Even the uncharged one?
Oh, even the uncharged attack.
So does that mean that you're just going up to the bosses and...
No, I mean, it's not really that powerful. I mean, when you think of it, when you do two or three headshots, it does about, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 damage. You're doing one...
Depending on what gun you're using. I don't use a fucking icebreaker like you guys do.
I wasn't using an icebreaker either.
I was using
the Mida, but I ascended the Mida, so it does over 1,000 damage once you ascend it. It's nice.
I haven't got there yet. I got to use that thing forever.
But what the Brawler thing is just a modifier that saved my ass quite a bit because it took three melee attacks to take down a knight, which it normally takes a whole lot more than that. And you were able to...
You have to Mike Tyson to do it normally if you're in a...
Yeah, well, there was no winning that fight. It was by no means... easy. Omnigul is not necessarily one of those Nightfalls that you can heroics that you can snooze through, but it was fun and it was nice to have something that was unique,
really
to,
effective.
Yeah, it was unique to the Guardians instead of like where
you
just light
feel
switch,
fucked the whole time.
Where Light Switch is,
yeah,
you know, is uniquely the fucking boss or the monsters.
Light Switch, is that the one where they're tossing a shitload of grenades?
No, Light Switch is where their melee attacks do more damage.
Oh, right.
So...
Yeah, that one sucks.
Yeah, well, especially against thralls. Knights. Thralls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get one thrall on you, and they eat your face.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've really enjoyed that. I have looked at, you know, this is the time for me to actually go back and start watching Twitch again, because I got a lot of information from Twitch about Destiny. You know, different ways to do things, how to do things a little faster, things like that. And some of the new exotics were actually shown. And it was the Queenbreaker's Bow is one of the exotics that I was that I looked at. And it is a fusion rifle, sniper rifle, with two scopes. And one scope is kind of like a combat scope. It's kind of like an ACOG.
A mid-range.
It's like an ACOG scope. And it has a different charge rate, but does more crit damage. And then there's a longer-range one that has a shorter charge rate that's more like a sniper rifle. That thing looks amazing. And
that sounds interesting.
You hold the trigger, and I mean, it's not like I don't think it's the full charge for like a what a fusion rifle normally charges. It's about half of that time, but it still takes some time to actually send the bullet.
Well, it's like I have that Plan C, and that thing charges hella fast.
Right. It's probably about the same charge time as the Plan C.
It's less than a second for sure.
Yeah, it
maybe
takes
half a second. It's just pull trigger, then fire.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I mean, it looks like it kind of looks like a Vex, you know, like the Vex Mythoclast. As far as its looks, it just has the unique, you know, scopes on it. That's kind of neat. I didn't get to see the other two, but there's two new exotics, and I think those are the are found via an exotic bounty that you get from the Prison of Elders. So it's an item that you pick up in Prison of Elders, and you take it, and it starts an exotic bounty quest. Which, that's better than the random chance shit that we ended up getting, so.
Yeah.
I guess it's still kind of random chance, but.
Though I gotta say, Thorn's pretty cool.
I still have not gotten a Thorn. I think I've got the bounty on my Hunter, but.
Yeah, I got the bounty too, and it's just been taking forever.
No.
Granted, I discovered that it does not crit. It does half the crit against everything that's not fucking
brain dead.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Starting to
drink.
Wow.
Drink.
I looked up
the fuckers on the moon.
Cabal.
The hive.
Oh. What hive? Thralls. Knights.
Yeah.
Knights.
That race.
The hive. Okay, got it. All right, so. Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, you're fucking like just zoned out there for a second.
I did, like mid-sentence.
If you guys could see it.
Something fell out of his ear.
I think he was drooling a little bit just then.
I was all caught up in exotics. I got to put the phone down again.
Yeah, no, it. I'm really stoked for House of Wolves. The story content is the first thing that you blow through. It's really kind of sad in a way because you run through those story missions really quickly. And
it
then
still
you
didn't
get
seem like it added that much to the story.
And it doesn't.
I'm still so fucking lost.
When you finish that, I mean, it did have a better progression of story than the main story did.
And I mean, it had a better. It had better explanation. I mean, it went into. If you actually paid attention closely, it explained.
Honestly, like, I paid attention to the little bits of story bits, and then I ended up listening to podcasts.
You know, it explains that during the Great War, the Queen of the Awoken had taken over the House of Wolves.
I know there's a lot of fucking lore with Destiny, and I wish it would be told better. It's just
the problem with Destiny is that people want to play that game, and they don't want the story, But there's some people that do want the story, and the only way that they were, you're able to get the full story is if you can find the Grimoire cards and read them on your mobile device or on the internet while you're not playing the goddamn game. So, they succeed and fail at the same time. I really wish that they would put something more in there, but also give us the option to skip freaking cutscenes, because that's still not in the game.
At least you can mute it now.
Well, you can mute it, but I mean, if you're going through the some of the story missions,
you know what? Cooler thing for me, the fact that you can turn the helmet on in social areas.
I mean, it's
that
it was nice. I mean, you'd like to be able to to show off your helmet to people who were.
I'd rather not see some douchebag Awoken's mohawk. Okay,
you're not playing on Awoken. Oh, you're talking about other
somebody
people's
else,
playing.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I was about to say, I'm playing the Awoken here.
So overall, what's it? If you had to give it a grade, I mean, we've played a shitload of Destiny. Not as much as some of my friends who are into the thousands of hours yet, but
I really can't grade it until I actually get into the end game for it. I don't think I would be able to do it any justice if I did. Like it would be, it'd be kind of like grade the Dark Below, having never been in Crota's End. You know,
I still haven't been in Crota's End.
Right. I mean, you can't really say that you've seen all of the content from it without actually going into it. I can say that I'm really stoked for a Horde mode style, you know, three-manned, you know,
well, that
experience.
Means that's something me, you, and Jason can do more often. That's the thing. So I mean, when are we doing it?
Any fucking time, dude. I am
except tonight.
Well,
I know not tonight.
I mean, I'm down for it whenever, because I've gotten a lot of the shit that I wanted to get done, and I don't see myself buying another game right away. So
I think the next thing I'm gonna probably get's Batman, and that's it for a while.
Yeah, I won't even get Batman
unless I find some cool indie shit. I know that there's been, and I will look up more on this later, but like Darkest Dungeon added some more classes and stuff like that. Did you ever pick that up?
No, I didn't actually pick that up. I'm waiting for a summer sale, which should be coming up sometime soon. And you know, once the summer sale hits, I'll probably have a budget of about $50 or $60 and see how many games I can pick up. But I've got a wish list, you know.
As far as a lot of my indie game favorites, that's kind of going up there right now.
Yeah,
Dark Ascension's pretty kick ass. That may be what I play before I go to bed tonight. Now that I'm thinking about it, just to try out the new classes. I was like, do I do another video? I was like, no. But if they release the game, then maybe I will do a follow up. But, you know what? We've been talking a while. I think that there is some big news that I want to talk about. But before I get to that big news and everything, I think we ought to take a quick break.
Hmm?
Regroup, come back, talk about a couple more games, because we do want to touch on some Witcher.
Witcher 3, yep.
And some Massive Chalice.
Okay.
Before we get into some news. So I'm just going to break it up so that I can step outside for a second.
Yeah, I was going to say something about that. Yep. But all right, we'll be back in a bit.
Minergy.
Minergy.
I want some.
Welcome back to the Sex Dungeon.
Yeah, we were talking about that right before we got on here, and I was like, so, I mean, this is a padded room with hooks on the walls with black soundproofing, you know, material all around it. I ought to put, for my housewarming party, I ought to just put Sex Dungeon on the door.
Sex Dungeon, scratch out podcast room.
Yeah. I think I will.
You will? All right, I want to see
it. I got to find
it. That's going to go up on the, that's going to go up in the podcast group, that's for sure.
So, yeah,
I haven't posted many pictures of the room that has not changed much since we put the blankets up.
The best thing would be to make that up, take it to Kinko's on jump drive, and ask them to print it out?
Yeah, because you want to
watch the reaction.
No, I'm good.
Hell no! I'm gonna do that shit.
Maybe I'll do that like right after I wake up and I still got morning breath and my hair's all over the place. Wear like a white t-shirt stained with grease and some like really shitty small shorts. Problem is I've lost enough weight that none of my shorts are that small, but. Like, maybe I could find, like, a pair of, like, those Adidas running shorts that I have. Wear some sandals with socks and...
and a fanny pack. And a fanny you gotta pack. Throw in the fanny pack.
And just say, can you print this up for me off this thumb drive? Sex dungeon.
What does it say? Oh, would you like that in script?
Script, and I want it laminated because I need it to be waterproof.
Oh. I hose it down every once in a while. Oh, that's fucked up. I love it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make a version and print it off at school just to see.
Sex dungeon.
Sex dungeon. Scratch it out. Scan it. Put it up there. Leave a copy for my
boss.
Like,
you know, it'd be kind of really like my mind goes to really fucked up places sometimes. Yeah. I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be ironic if you just put a little pictures of like kittens?
Sex dungeon with kitten pictures because it's cute.
It helps offset the sex dungeon. Leaves you with happy thoughts.
Everything's better with kittens.
Sex isn't better with kittens. So maybe with
you,
butter.
You say that with some experience, I guess.
No.
No. Yeah. All right.
So like. Speaking of stuff awkward, because you're just bringing it out of
me. I know, right?
Have you ever had sex with a girl that refuses to put the dog outside or shut the door?
What do you mean? You mean the unwanted spectator?
Yeah. Like, don't you feel like somewhere God is crying? Or
so, No.
Like,
no.
Look at those eyes. Well, and it's uncomfortable every time. And the worst thing is when you get that cold nose that just goes up to your ass. And you're like, no, I'm done.
You've had the cold nose in your ass?
And I was pretty done after that. It was the last night that I saw said.
I can honestly say I could give a shit. I would turn around, punch that dog inside of its head, and then continue.
I wouldn't have punched the dog.
I wouldn't punch the dog.
But
I would tell the dog, this is how you do it, right?
You know, I would very dumb. Or it's just like... seeing the girl that has the pit bull, and you don't know if the pit bull's going to attack or if he's going to, like, get all freaky.
Oh.
So you don't know what to do. And, like,
hey, this is contrary to mental images I don't want to see anymore.
As long as you don't end up with a red rocket anywhere near you, you're safe.
It's just instinct of the dog. He doesn't know better. He just sees what's going on, and then nature takes over. So you got to make sure that never happens. And that's, like, one of those, you know, like, the fears that people have, it's not totally irrational. Like, but the dog is going to see what's going on and things are, he's going to get interested. And you're, I don't want any part of that. That, my friends, does not turn this guy on. I may be really fucked up in some ways, but I really don't like poop. And I'm really not in animal sex. I'll say that much.
Couple things that are fairly healthy. All right.
Like, you know, I mean, I have a fairly fucked up sense of humor, but there are certain things that I won't do.
Just
laying that out there.
Just so you know, guys, don't send him any pictures. He's not interested.
Definitely not interested in furries either.
Oh, come on. You're gonna bring that shit up? Look.
I know you're a bae.
I will say that I had a whole lot of fun whopping chicks in the ass with my tail and saying it's got a mind of its own. How can I not do that? I think from on high, John Candy's smiling down and saying, that a boy.
Well done, faithful servant.
But yeah, no, I agree. No butt stuff.
What
in the butt, indeed. Alright, so we had a couple things that we were going to talk about.
Yeah, and I'm just going to kind of go through this stuff because at some point we want to do a spoiler cast, but I will say
Witcher 3.
We both completed it.
Yeah. How many hours was it for you?
About 120.
And I was at 111. I'll say that in the second main area, I didn't get through all the question marks. I was a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, it...
But I did clear them out of the first area.
The Novigrad area, that place is ginormous, and I don't think that it was even worth it to continue doing the question mark areas after a bit. And then when you throw on the third area, it just became overwhelming. There was a couple places that I couldn't get to. I couldn't figure it out. So I'm gonna, I said, it's okay. I'm not going to do all of these because that's going to give me some things to discover next time I play it. And I'm going to set it aside for a bit because it is a monster of a game.
I'm just waiting for... I think my second playthrough will coincide with the DLC that's
right, released. Right. When they throw
out, that'll give me a good thing to do in October.
When they throw out the DLC for it, I might think about picking it up. With RPGs, though, I kind of want to get to a point where I forget some of the details so that I can, you know, I can go through it.
At some point, I'd thought about just jumping right back into the game after I finished it.
Oh, God.
And then I was like, you know what? I have some things to play. There's this whole Destiny thing that mm-hmm. we used to be addicted to that I want to jump back into. I have a good excuse. I legitimately finished the game in 111 hours
mm-hmm.
Without hitting all the... Really, it's just... I got the achievement... You know, that said I did all the monster contracts.
Right, so did I.
So I did that. You know, I did a fair number of the other ones. I think I got like 38 of 51. So, I mean, like, I feel like I did a shitload in that game already.
Well, I mean, I think I did all of the side quests. There's a couple of them that I failed that I really kind of wish I had done. So, I mean, that's another thing that I'll be able to do on the next playthrough.
Well, there's some really big twists that I could have followed a different path, which I plan on doing next time.
Well, I had a pretty big twist. I'm going to save it for the spoiler cast because, because a lot of the stuff is really spoilery, and I'm trying not to, I'm trying to give you guys some time to do this. I mean...
We just... Play geek the game. Out. Like, I took a day off. I already have 3 days off a week, and I chained it together to make a 4-day weekend. And in 4 days, I put in, not lying, I promise you.
About 60, 70 hours?
70 hours in 4 days.
Yep. Well, I did the same thing when Mass Effect 3 came out. I cracked out to it over a 4-day weekend and finished it.
This was like playing from 9 in the morning until the wee hours of the night. Like, that kind of, like, poop-socking.
Right? I don't think I did it quite that way, but...
I was saving time to poop when there was a loading screen to make sure I was as efficient as possible.
And the loading screens are few and far between in that game, so I can imagine how long that took.
Or it's like when I failed something, I'd have to reload, you know?
Right.
Because I did play... Did you play it on normal or hard?
I played it on normal, but I'm going to play it through the next time on hard. And... I saw some stuff online, and they're totally correct. If you have not played this game, or haven't started playing the game, play the game on the hardest setting, because that is the true Witcher experience. You know,
I plan on going there. I did the second to highest level of setting. Well, I felt like I could have went harder.
From what I was able to, to gain from other people's experiences... you have a little bit more leeway on your setting for failure, but if you get surrounded on the hardest setting, you're done. So you have to really be tactical, really know how to use the signs, really know how to use the alchemy to make sure that you are going to survive your experience.
Well, and you were saying like how much I would buff my guy,
right?
Like into almost overdose mode, and that was how I like playing the game.
Well. After we did the video, I started actually doing a little bit more of the alchemy stuff because I had kind of left that. I got the recipes for it, but I really didn't use it. And on the normal setting, you really don't have to. It just makes things a little easier if you do. But on the hardest setting, you need those buffs to be able to actually take things down quick enough so that you can survive a fight. And I got really good at the combat. Like,
I'm pretty good at dodging.
Yeah, it was. almost
felt like I was dodging Dark Souls. Like a boss.
Like almost, you know, almost Dark Souls style dodging, you know, shit. You know when you can attack based off of their actions and things like that. And I think there is a skill in the potion tree that if you have a toxicity of a certain amount, it slows down time so that you can make a counterattack.
That was me in game.
Yeah, so that really does help in those situations. But
my Witcher was constantly just on the border of overdosing all
so
the time.
Every time you saw his face, it was all freaking, you know, veiny and shit.
Yeah, like in the cutscenes and everything else, he looked like he'd gone Sith and...
Yep, you went Dark Side.
Yeah, it looked like he'd went Sith in Old Republic because he was always using a lot of drugs, but like the... I really like the effects of the concoction, so that's... I mostly potion spec'd him with some cool kick-ass signs, like a maxed out... What is it? Ard's... Not Ard. Which one's the one, the mind control one?
Axie, yep.
So...
I did do that. Now, on my setup for the finish of it, which really isn't spoilery at all, I did... three of the red tree, three of the green tree, and six of the blue tree, because I used signs a lot.
Well, see, I got to the point where I wasn't using Quinn very often, which is the shield.
I used it more often than I like to admit.
I did it initially, and then I got used to the dodging, and after I got used to the dodging, like, I started using a lot more Igni and Ard. And I used the Ard because you come across a group of enemies, hit him with a big old telekinetic blast, and then go over there and like finish off you guys, and
you could do that. What I ended up doing is when I failed to dodge, and some of those enemies hurt a lot. I ran into a situation instead of having swallow and the other healing potion on my tool belt, I would use Ard. And use the alternate version of Ard, which whenever they hit the bubble, it regen to your vitality.
You mean Quinn?
Quinn, yeah, that. So so I was using that to regen my hit points instead of doing that, and I was using Thunderbolt and whatever the stamina one was.
Tawny Owl.
Yeah, Tawny Owl. So I had those on, you know, on my quick bar so that I didn't have to worry about, like, going into the inventory and breaking my concentration on the fight.
Yeah, I usually did the concoctions are the really powerful potions, and I got to a point where I could do two of those plus use others.
Yeah.
And that's how I was doing a lot. Well, I mean, the quick look, or the tilt look that we did.
Yeah, that was basically all the we had on the tilt look.
Was me... getting really fucked up to be fighting.
Well, that's the way to do it. Now, I have a buddy of mine that is just starting the game that is talking to me about it at work because he knows I played it and beat it. And he asked me, Alchemy, is it something that I need to do? And I'm like, yes. You need to pick every berry and pick every thing that you can so that you can make the potions when they're available. Because buying that shit is not...
expensive as fuck.
It's not cheap. And not only, you know, and most of the time they have everything except for the one item that you need.
Right. Which is... unless you refresh your stock.
Right. Fucking random stocks. Anyway. That game... I will say that my experience with that game was really, really positive. I even enjoyed the ending, which felt like it was the culmination of everything that you did in the game. So if you were driving your character to do something, you know, if you were driving a character in a direction, the end of the game felt justified. So, and...
yeah, I gotta shut up.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to say that the ending was good without spoiling the ending.
Yeah, the ending wasn't shit.
Yeah, it was pretty... It felt... It felt like a quick tie-up. Like, it felt like the ending should have been longer for the game. For me, when it comes to an ending for a game...
Yeah, because you do a thing, and then the game kind of wraps up.
Right. So, for any type of RPG, I like to think of it as kind of like a ratio to how much time you actually put into the game. So, the ending for that game should actually give you a good tie-up to what you did. And for me, I think Witcher 3 fell just a tiny bit short on the end, but I still enjoyed it. It was.
I want to say, like, I've seen some of the 10 scores. I don't think that in our rating system it's Witcher the 5. You know, I feel like it's 4.9 is probably...
4.9 is really close. I mean...
Because there's some weird things with the movement that I don't like sometimes that took me a while to get used to.
Yep.
And there's some weird things with the side quests where you're just picking up the question marks that felt a little bit grab bag.
But
the contracts are fucking spot on.
Yep.
The side content where it's just the actual quests are spot on.
I did...
The horse movement's a little off.
Everything that had to do with the horse.
Like,
I
like the whole thing where you get on a trail, and if it's going a direction, you just hold down the run button, and your horse just runs,
until you come to a fork. Right, exactly.
And then you got to figure out...
Or if you go into a town.
Yeah.
Or if the trail, in a couple places in that game, there's, like, winding trails that go all over, you know, over the place.
Horse just kind of does whatever he wants.
You try to direct the horse left, it goes two left or two right or just decides to stop.
It overcorrects and does circles.
Yeah.
So, like, there are minor things like that, but the story is so engaging. I like the combat. I like prepping for everything. I like how they simplified the potions.
Mm-hmm.
And all I mean by simplified, they actually added more potions. It's just once you make it, you basically have to have a strong alcohol on you, and you can remake that infinitely every time you meditate.
Right, and you don't have to meditate to actually do the potions anymore, which is kind of nice.
Use them.
Yeah, you just use them. Which made things a little bit more streamlined as far as the combat's concerned. I mean, you needed it.
But I found myself in that game paying attention to the quests.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing a realistic outcome from the quest, having decisions that were no good decisions.
Yep.
Playing a shitload of Gwent, which is their little Magic the Gathering game.
Mm.
I didn't get the Gwent Master one because I think that I probably missed a couple merchants that could play.
I know I did.
I didn't get good with it until I finally had to... There is a crucial part of the game, I say crucial, a minor part of the game, where Gwent becomes there's a real reason to play it. And I fucked up pretty bad on it, and I don't want to fuck up that bad again next time I play it. So
yeah, it'll be more of a thing that I'll do later on. I did end up getting a pretty darn good Gwent deck at the end.
I can win every game right now.
Right, but
I'm a Gwent master.
there was a couple places where if you don't do it right, or if you don't do it right away, you will lose the opportunity to be able to get certain cards. So
I figured that out after I started trying to figure out how to play Gwent effectively.
Yeah.
And then I watched a tutorial online about how to win. And then after realizing some of the UI or the AI's mistakes.
The quirks you can pick up. Yep.
After I figured out what their tails were, which are realistically their tails throughout the whole game of Gwent.
Mm-hmm.
I really got pretty good at it. And I really can. I could fire that up right now and guarantee myself a win.
Yeah, it's fun, but I think it was kind of a... I think it was kind of like that...
I'd like to have some Gwent cards. I play Gwent.
That might be something that they do.
Now that I know how to play it.
Right.
Now that I know that I need to have two horns in my deck at all time and two scorches.
Right.
Or know how to bait the PC out to fortifying the shit out of their cards and then just scorching the shit out of them.
The situations that I ran into, the games that were the closest for me were the ones that I was fighting against monsters. Those are the ones that...
Yeah, but then you learn the tells. But of you what learn
the
do.
Tell on those. Those are they're. If you've ever played Magic: The Gathering, the monster deck is very much like a green deck in Magic: The Gathering. It is very creature heavy.
Well, and it's a lot of multipliers. I can play a card, and then it grabs two cards randomly from his deck.
Right.
Which I think it's really interesting how you have to build all the decks fairly differently, too.
Yep.
It's like the, what are the non-human rebels called again?
Squirtle?
Yeah, the Squirtle deck, you play kind of like a monster deck plus a Nilfgaardian deck.
Yeah, it's...
And then the, what is it, the royal deck, not the royal deck, but the normal one you first get?
The, that's,
Temerian? Temerian deck?
Fuck. The Foltest deck.
Foltest deck, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. That deck right there, if you have spies in your group, the spies are what you do. It's like at the beginning of the game, throw out all your spy cards and throw that first match,
mm-hmm.
and build yourself a deck of like 16 cards and then just annihilate them for two turns.
Yep.
But...
Yeah, that, it's really...
I would say 10 hours of my game are playing Gwent.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Well, I mean, mine's probably closer to 5, because I really didn't play a whole lot of it. But, I mean, it's nice to, you know, to see that they didn't do fucking 5 different, you know, parlor games.
Like Fable?
Well, yeah. Fuck. Is Fable the one that had the... The stones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hated that game. There
was the dice game, and...
It was... Yeah, there was a dice game to it, too. I mean, it's good that they focused on it. Yeah, but it's such a...
They had a dice game. They also had... Did you play a lot of the brawling in this one?
Oh, I finished the brawling. I absolutely loved the end of it. Yes.
Because it's fucking ridiculous.
That was freaking awesome. I loved it. You have got to do it. And that is one of the things that I will not tell you about.
That was an amazing reveal.
Yes. I will not tell you about. It's if you haven't done the brawling, do the brawling, because that fucking shit's amazing. It's a pain in the ass to
start. You have to get used to how the brawling works. I mean, you have to block, you have to dodge, you have to figure out how to interrupt. It's just like the sword fight in that game. Once you learn how to counter... Then it's over.
Yeah.
The same thing goes with brawling, because they put you up against opponents that can knock you out in 2 or 3 hits.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to get around it is know when to counter, beat the snot out of them.
Yep.
It's not quite as entertaining to watch, though, as 2. 2 had some really great moves.
Yeah.
Because this is all freestyle. But it really does actually make you fight.
Well, the...
And there are times in the game where you are supposed to use your fists in general so that you don't kill people.
Yeah.
So... It's useful to know how to brawl.
I ran into a couple of those situations, and somehow the sword popped out. had to restart a couple times.
It's like, well, fuck this. I'm just going to stab a guy.
Yep. But...
Sorry, officer. I just cut off his head.
I didn't mean to get thrown in jail.
So, Witcher 3.
Yeah.
There's so much we want to talk about, so much we're saving for another cast. Easily, so far, my top game this year.
It is. It's...
Like, I wanted that to be Bloodborne, but I don't know what happened to me. I just haven't been interested in playing it. It just might be that game is really fucking intimidating. But I've gotten through 3 bosses on Bloodborne and put it down, and then decided I was going to play Witcher when it came out, and that completely engrossed me.
Well, any game that you can pick up and you don't want to put down, it's very much like a good book. You just... You want to play that game until it's done.
So I will say there's something right now on Xbox Live for PS or Xbox One users,
mm-hmm.
called Massive Chalice, that I've been playing in beta for a while, thanks to John. That initially was kind of a rough game when I first picked it up. It's a strategy game that plays like a kind of a roguelike strategy game. You pick a... Right now it's free for gold members.
Yes.
And then I also have it on PC, and it just recently released. But Massive Chalice is a Double Fine game that I can get behind. I know that there are a few of their games that I really don't like. This is one of the games that I do like. And what it is you choose a random house, and they have, like, all the house names are made by backers.
because it was a Kickstarter project.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, John has his house name in there. So there is a House of John. I'm not going to say his last name. Well, I guess I can say his last name, but John. That is in the game.
Sweet.
But you choose a house, you five houses, and what you do is there is a massive talking chalice, which I think is a little bit ridiculous. but then the rest of the game plays off it very seriously. So you start off with a keep, and in the keep you set research for a certain number of years. And the idea is that there are these a menace that threatens to take over the land, and there is a map of the kingdom, mm-hmm. and every few years the enemy attacks. And you have a threat level of 1 through 3. Once it gets to 3, the area of the continent is taken over. But it takes so many years. So you start your timeline. You start your research. So like my first research was a Sage's Dorm. And the Sage's Dorm will speed up your research by a certain amount of days or years per research project. So I set my research. Start the timeline. It starts moving the timeline along. People are born. Things happen. And then the monsters attack. Then it goes into a grid-style combat, and you start off initially with three classes. So you start off with an archer, or they call him a hunter because he can stealth/shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You start off with an alchemist, which is a guy that has weak armor but decent physical damage but throws potions. And then you start off what they call a caberjack, which is a guy with a caber, Scottish mm-hmm. caber, and he is kind of a walking wrecking machine, which is a melee fighter. Now this is going on a timeline of 300 years. So every few years people die, people are born. So in your research projects you're setting stuff for a certain number of years, like 6, 9, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes by, every year goes by at about 10 seconds, 5 seconds, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whatever the hell they're called attack, and then you fight them, and then you get more research, and then the idea I guess is to get past the halfway point or get to the end. When you once you purify the land. But here's what's happening, girl. excuse me. During that whole time, people are being born, and so you'll set up keeps on these different continents, and those keeps will have two random houses. It'll tell you the fertility rate of the person that you're putting in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to match them up with a female with a certain amount of fertility. And then in between all that, they have all good and bad traits. So much like you play Rogue Legacy,
mm-hmm.
how they have like the ridiculous traits, same yep. kinds of traits. Some are good, some are bad, but they're all random. And you pair the two together, you get a new class that they'll start training. So I mixed an alchemist with a caberjack, and I got something called, I think it was a brutalist. And the brutalist, there was two different types of combinations. I can't remember which does which, but one of them is a melee heavy alchemist that can do a lot of melee damage. Plus throw flasks. The other version was a caberjack that had his big old caber, but also did like crazy explosive damage. And then he could take out big groups of enemies on top of being tanky as hell.
Jeez.
Mixed like a hunter with a caberjack, and I got a stealth caberjack. So he could pop out of stealth, like stealth him around the map,
mm-hmm.
find the enemy, de-stealth, and get a sneak attack bonus, and then re-stealth after I've killed whatever enemy you can see. Enemies get crazy tough. I have restarted that game numerous times, playing it on normal, and it just gets... It is a very challenging game. It is a very long game.
It uses a random chance for attacks, kind of like XCOM does.
Yeah.
So...
And the combat is very XCOM-styled. It's free movement until you see something, and once you see something, then it's still turn-based, but it's very much turn-based.
Okay. So, I mean, if you're familiar with XCOM's combat style, then it would be something easy to slip into.
But it's kind of medieval. Like I said, I mean, and you also have these things called relics. So, let's say I leveled up somebody and they're like in their 70s and they die. He passes on his weapon to the next generation, and that weapon levels up. So, I'll start off one of my guys with like a better weapon. Or during the course of my research, I've killed so much of a certain enemy. Now my caberjack says it's armor that if I get hit once, every subsequent attack after that only does one damage. So
sweet.
It really adds a variety. Like I said, it starts off with three classes, but that expands exponentially as you set up houses to birth more mutants.
Or hybrids of the classes. So
arranged marriages.
Yes.
Jeez. I picked it up. I mean, it's free. So, I mean, it's stupid not to pick it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I looked at it.
I say, I've sunk about 12 or 15 hours into it.
Yeah, I looked at it, you know, but I didn't have any time to actually do it because I was kind of, you know, stuck on getting addicted again to Destiny.
That's what I've been playing while I was trying to wait on people to jump on Destiny. I'd just jump into Massive Chalice for a little bit and then jump back to Destiny. Yeah, I've made it past the halfway point, but I want to say, I'd like to see some I wish I could see stats on Xbox on how long I've played a game. Unless I just don't know how to do it.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
But I feel like I feel like there were a solid 2 days during last week's days off that I played a shitload of Massive Chalice. So like maybe 6 or 8 hours a day. So, and still didn't finish a whole map, and it is still kind of random, so it's got a decent amount of replayability. I just don't know what the end is. But overall, I've actually really enjoyed the game. I think this has probably been my favorite XCOM game to date. Or not XCOM.
XCOM?
Double Fine. Get a little tired here.
Well, I know a lot of people dogged on a couple of these. I think it was Double Fine that did, Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
Everything about Brutal Legend except for its tower defense was actually kind of fun. And, well, it may be because of Jack Black, but...
I've never played it, but I know a lot of people really praise that game.
Well, there's the sad part is that the game was supposed to be a tower defense. That was the way that they originally built it, and that's the worst part of it. At least for me, that's what I felt was the worst part of it. But everything about that, that game, and everything else was okay. I could deal with that. So in Double Fine, they're hit and miss. I mean, they're really hit and miss on things. So I'm going to give this this a try. And I'd heard about Massive Chalice before. I just haven't really had a chance to.
I've played it. A little bit about it and a little bit with it, and then talked a little bit about it on the show, and just never totally delved into it because it was actually running pretty shitty on my PC on the first few builds. But again, early builds, and I was like, it'll get better. I'll give it time, and now it's running pretty much like butter on even on an Xbox One. I say even on because PC Master Race, but
right.
I don't know. It seems like some of their projects almost feel like they lost interest at some point.
Well, it's like Trench was really good. I really really like Trench.
You mean Iron Brigade?
Yeah, Iron Brigade. Whatever. It is called Iron Brigade now.
It was originally Trenched, but it was...
It had a weird rights issue.
Yeah, so they ended up having to change it.
It's a fairly decent game. I had a lot of fun playing that with friends. But, yeah, Iron Brigade is good. I do like this. Stacking was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I really did not like that game with the fucking choo-choo train and that point-and-click they made, the ridiculously oversimplified point-and-click that a lot of people seem to like a whole lot and I seem to loathe.
I don't remember.
It's, let's not mention it. I'm not giving it credence. Tim Schafer, you're better than that. I do not like that game. The reviewers, quit sucking his cock. It's not that great of a game. Is ridiculous. Well, and that's just my opinion. If you like it, I won't dog on you, but it really felt like after listening to a few podcasts that people were just like gobbling up one of his worst games.
I'm trying to figure it out what you're talking about, but I'm not going to talk about it that much, so. Oh, okay. I think I know what you're talking about. All right, then.
I'm trying to...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Which game am I talking about? Because it's driving me nuts now.
Well, maybe. See.
Broken Age.
Broken Age, yep. That's the one that you hate. You hate that game so much.
Grim Fandango's good. Yeah. Costume Quest is good. I think it's a really good kids game, actually. Massive Chalice is proving to be really good. Iron Brigade has been really good.
I've never touched the cave. So I didn't do that.
Oh, is the cave theirs?
Yeah.
I've been playing a little bit of that on and off. The one that I've been addicted to has definitely been Massive Chalice, though.
Mm-hmm. They did Psychonauts?
Yeah, absolutely.
See, it's been so friggin' long on that game, I forget who made them, so... Yeah, I mean, Psychonauts was really good, too, so... They started out really good.
But I mean, like, the whole thing... Like, you heard about what happened to Space Base DS9, right?
No.
It was a game that was Kickstarted that they got to a point and then stopped supporting altogether.
Oh, that's kind of low.
So, it never... They never finished the game, and I don't know if they fired the whole studio that was doing it or what, but you could still buy the game, which I don't... Like, it had some cool concepts, and I got into it for a while, and then I realized that the game was not finished, and then I found out information that it was never going to be finished.
Yeah, there's a couple games...
Which, that makes me really upset. But...
Yeah.
Maybe I will play some more of The Cave, just to kind of get used to it and see what it's all about.
There's another couple things that, you know, that popped up on my news feed that I'm mildly excited for and really excited for. The mildly excited for is the classic Mega Man collection, the really? Mega Man Legacy collection. So this is Mega Man 1 through 6.
Is this only on Wii? Ritual console or what?
This is to be released on Steam, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Nintendo DS, 3DS, and it includes all of those games plus some extra features like Sketchworks and things like that for the concepts behind them, which is kind of cool, but. That's 6 Mega Man games and some of the best ones of the original series. So that's really nice. I remember putting many, many hours into Mega Man 3, 4, and 5. I don't remember 1 or 2 that well, but 3, 4, or 5, yeah. I blew plenty of air into those cartridges. You betcha. So that'll be nice to pick that up on Steam and play that on Big Picture.
That does sound interesting. Especially since I've been playing a little bit of Axiom Verge.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't play enough of it to talk about it tonight, because I got distracted
That's on my Steam list as well. I'm hoping do
some family sharing and just check some stuff out.
Yeah, I could do that, I guess.
It's not like we're you're always on the same hour, so...
Not always, but when you do come on, it pisses me off. So.
Jason, did you have anything, or I know you've been searching over there? Need something to stimulate your mind there.
The one I found was PlayStation is releasing an Uncharted Nathan Drake collection.
HD due, remaster.
Mm-hmm. Due out October 9th on the PS4.
Well, baby. Like, those games are great, but I'm getting sick of remasters right now.
Well, it's nice that they're doing remasters. From what I've read on the developers, they wanted to be able to allow players to play the games that they had classically gotten on PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, things like that. Xbox 360 that you can't really play on the new ones. It is a cash grab, but it also is it also allows people to play those classic, the games that they really like with an HD upgrade, and some of them are really good. Like the uprising that they do on some of those is really fantastic. That being said, though, I don't like necessarily paying 2, 3, 4 times for a game.
Yeah.
You know, unless it is that damn good.
Yeah.
But it gives people that haven't played those games, like for me, if I was to get a PlayStation 4 right now, I had never actually played any of the Uncharted series.
Yeah.
So it would be worth it for me to be able to pick those HD remasters up and be able to experience them without having to go one console generation back and hope that I can find the discs. You know? Yeah. So there's a trade-off there. For us older gamers, it's not so great of a deal, but the people that are still coming into those series, it's still a viable way of, you know, getting that content.
Uncharted is definitely worth it. I know that some people say it's overrated. It is the Indiana Jones of video games.
Yeah.
It's goofy like that. There's good dialogue between the characters. Nathan Drake's really fleshed out, and the side characters are really fleshed out. I think they are superb games, and Naughty Dog really does know their shit.
Yeah.
They do delve into the supernatural, just like Indiana Jones does.
Of course.
Tell
me, does he survive a nuclear blast?
Didn't do shitty Indiana Jones.
He didn't survive a nuclear blast in a lead-lined refrigerator. Come on now.
No.
He's not nearly as badass as Indiana Jones then.
That was not a badass. That
was terrible. I agree with you completely.
Fucking blasphemy is what it was.
All right. So there's,
other than that, there's, I've just got the big new piece everybody wants to talk about.
I will talk about that in a second. I wanted to bring up a piece since we talked a lot about Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a exploit that people were using the game. It wasn't a bug, but basically people were killing cows and selling their leather and then resting and then killing cows and selling their leather and just rinse and repeat.
Why?
To make extra gold.
Okay. So,
CD Projekt decided to throw a extra boss in the game.
Oh, really?
So if you do that,
it's the cow level?
If you do that, a wild herd of cows will attack you and kill you. So they just fixed the exploit that way.
Oh, that's amazing. I need to do this.
So kill a bunch of cows. You should just stream it. Killing cows to see what CD Projekt does.
That's amazing. I love these guys. They find just new inventive ways to mess with people.
So
that's cool.
Do you have any other minor pieces before we got to the big piece that everybody's already been tweeting and talking about?
I mean, the only other thing that I saw was there was a small bit on No Man's Sky where they had confirmed a number of planets that's in the game so far that they're able to create in the engine, and that number is in the quintillions. That game's going to be one of those things that is never going to be fully explored because
quintillions. Maybe one of those things you can play kind of like Minecraft. You play it for a bit, you turn it off. You play it for a bit, you turn it off.
Yeah. I can't wait for that game to come out, and it's going to be one of those things where I might...
Depending on how well they do it, that could be the only thing I can think of that might beat out Witcher, because it'll be something different that we have never done before.
Right. It'll be one that allows me to justify picking up a PlayStation 4 just for a game. I think that right there, that game is one of them.
So, let's just get this out of the way.
Let's get it out of the way.
I know Jason's about to pass out, and we need to get this out so we can wrap up.
Come on.
Motherfucking Fallout 4 is coming out. I was watching it as it counted down, and then it did take about 5 minutes before they released the trailer.
Oh, you watched it count down? See, I didn't get a chance to do that, but I saw the countdown timer.
I was about to go do some, like, grocery shopping or something. I was like, oh, yeah, that's that thing that Roasted posted the other day.
Yeah.
And I looked at it. Said 3 minutes left. I was like, I'm just going to sit here and text on my phone.
Well, what happened was I got a message to go to a website. So I went to the website, and I recognized the website because it was Bethesda's website. And I'm like, okay, what's on Bethesda's website? And I get to Bethesda's website, and of course, the computer at work has Adblock on. So when it loaded, when I went to the website, all I got was a little spinning thing, and I'm like, what the hell? So I turned Adblock off, reloaded the webpage, and then it popped up with the please stand by thing, and I'm like, jaw hits floor. It bounced 3 times. I pick my jaw back up, I stare at it, and then I immediately look at my phone to see when that, you know, that release, that information is going to be released. I looked at it, and I said, this had better not be a hoax.
Well, and we finally found out that it wasn't, because they have, you know, what platforms are releasing it on. I know they're not going to release it on 360 or PS3.
Right. So
it's only next-gen and PC only.
And that's good. I'm fine with that, because it looked, you know, the...
You know what they have to do, though, that's different?
Mm.
They cannot rely on the old game design. They cannot rely on the old game design with Skyrim. When you compare it to a game like Witcher that did open world right,
mm-hmm.
and it had more of the interesting side quests and stuff that time that changed the timeline of everything, changed the way that events unfolded, they did a pretty decent job of that before, but again, thinking with old ideas, after playing Witcher and seeing how they did side quests,
mm-hmm.
they got to do something relevant like that. They got to give you some more relevant things to do.
Well,
and if they do that successfully, that would be, again... Another great game.
Was it 7 or 8 years that they were that we've been kind of waiting for a new Fallout?
It's been since 2010.
So
yeah, I think
okay. So
or maybe even 2011. No, 2011 was Skyrim. Yeah. So New Vegas came out in 2010, I think. So remember New Vegas, even though it was totally built by Bethesda, it was Obsidian. Plush.
2010 was New Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we're 5 years in. I don't imagine this game comes out till next year sometime.
2008 was Fallout 3. So it's been 7 years since Fallout 3. New Vegas is... it was a separate game, but it was still a continuation of Fallout 3 for me.
Yeah, it's the same engine, everything else. It was just more Fallout.
What you saw in the trailer, and the trailer's really cool, and you have to watch that trailer and watch it like about 2-3 times. I found new things every time I watched it.
I think anything you bring out of it is still speculation, though.
Well, no, if you look at it, there's... it was Boston.
Yeah, we knew that, though.
Okay, so there's a bunch of different landmarks in Boston. There is a spot in there that was a neighborhood that had been leveled in the 1960s in our timeline.
Yeah.
It had been leveled for a completely different project, but because this happened, the war happened in the 1950s, that section of Boston's still there. So that's really cool. Airships, which is kind of interesting. The shop that it shows with the power armor in it has a bunch of stuff in it. It has a magazine rack that calls back towards the skill book magazines. It has a bobblehead in it, a Vault Boy bobblehead. It has a laser rifle mounted on the wall. It promises the ability to have a base, a center of, like, where you're able to build shit. And everything was done in game engine, not CG. So that looked fantastic. There's another thing that really, really gets me interested. The fact that it was switching between timelines.
Yeah.
Before and after.
I would like to see if they do something like that.
What that kind of almost promises for me, which is the biggest speculation of all, is that there's going to be sections of the game that happen before the Fallout. Which, that would be freaking out. That would be awesome. I'd love to see that.
So Forbes is actually speculating that it may be out this year.
2015?
They're thinking, based on a lot of information on the internet, that it could be...
What?
last quarter 2015.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I'm...
It won't be the first time that they've pulled something like that.
Well, it is one of the best-kept secrets of Bethesda's ever had, considering we'd had
we've heard about the Boston thing for 2 years, though.
But that was still speculation at that point. It was never really set in stone.
It was the dude that did Three Dog tweeting about it.
Okay. But that was also... Oh, yeah, that's right. Three Dog did do something like that.
Yeah, they were talking... They've been talking about this for a couple of years.
But that was all...
Debunked. Speculation. It was stuff that he was working on.
They had hushed him real quick, though. It was not something that took. And then, which also makes me really think about all the different hoaxes and stuff that happened immediately afterwards.
So here's something else I found. So on a hit Italian GameStop website, there was rumor that it was going to be released October 23rd.
No way. No way. If it does, I will be a happy camper, and
that's what I'm saying. I don't know that it's rushed because it's been in development for a long time.
But but you haven't really seen any development details. They've been really good.
Skyrim was announced like a year before.
Yeah, but everybody was kind of expecting Skyrim. Fallout 4 was kind of all, you know, there wasn't enough information about Fallout 4 for you to really put any stock into any of the news that came out because you were just afraid of it being a hoax. So
it was. We got real excited when we got hoaxed last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember. I remember that.
I'll say, in other rumor news, though, I mean, there's also. You guys remember Van Buren?
Van Buren.
Project Van Buren was in Exile's Fallout 3 before they got lost the rights to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk that they're going to make a game called Van Buren.
Okay.
Also, and I hate to take away from this, but I am trying to kind of wrap up.
Sure.
Bard's Tale, did you guys actually watch the gameplay for that?
No, I didn't. No. See, I got the video for it.
It's not Wasteland. It looks like something made in Unreal 4.
Okay.
I challenge you, before you guys leave, watch the trailer for what their concept is for the world, their in an engine game world for Bard's Tale 4. It looks like a AAA release, like something like the Witcher team did. And it's being made by a small studio. Nothing wrong with Bard's Tale, but they're talking about using turn-based combat in a 3D world with, like, custom classes and stuff like that. Like a very, like, Morrowind-type experience.
Okay.
Except with tactical combat. But made in a, you know, like a, either a third, or they didn't show, like, much third or first person, and they just showed the game world.
So
but Bard's Tale looks like a AAA game. Yeah. Not that Wasteland 2 wasn't, but it was very obviously an indie game that would just end up being really good.
Yeah.
But Bard's Tale looks like something that, you know, Ubisoft made.
Right.
We'll take that. We'll check it out. I'm definitely looking. You know, I'm going to look into it. I worry because the name Bard's Tale 4 means that there's something that I'm missing. Right. There's three things that I'm missing.
You never played Bard's Tale?
I've never played Bard's Tale.
You know, so this is going to be blasphemy for hardcore Bard's Tale fans.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was on PS2 that had the snarky or nice. Dialogue choices was one of my favorite games on PS2.
Really?
Yeah, you were a bard, and they'd always make commentary on how, like, there's a whole bit of commentary out, like how you emptied out the whole chest in a cavern full of gold out of this.
I remember that game now. Because it
would make commentary on, like, what random things would come out of, like, creatures and stuff like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
I guess it was just funny.
Okay. This might be one of those games that I had missed, and I don't know how I missed it, but
Bard's Tale was also like on like in the '80s sometime. Like yeah. It was a nearly a mud.
So back to the rumor mill real quick. Amazon has the game listed for release December 31st. Now that's usually a placeholder, usually lending towards first quarter next year.
Yeah, I saw the placeholder news, and that's why I was looking at some of the other stuff.
Okay, well, I'll take a look at this. It was not one of those things that popped up, but I'm not going to discount the Bard's Tale at all. If it's another good RPG, I'll play it. I just hope that I'm not missing out on anything. Like, I can only imagine
the other games are so old. Like, I think it could be a reimagining. You know what I mean?
Okay. For instance, if I watched or if I played
Bard's Tale.
No, I've got it pulled up on my my PC here. If I had played Witcher 3 without playing Witcher 1 and 2, I think I would have been a little bit more lost.
Yeah, those games are a lot more recent though.
So.
Yeah, same guys making Wasteland 2, making a game that looks like this.
Yeah. Ooh, nice.
That's what I mean. Like, it looks like it's made in Frostbite or something.
Yeah.
But I know that it's not, but it's just...
Yeah, it looks good.
I don't want to mess up the audio from this to show.
But anyways. There,
but yeah.
Let's wrap up so you guys can go to bed. So I can play some more.
He needs to go to bed.
I need to play Darkest Dungeon.
I'm probably gonna do some Destiny when I get home.
Uh-oh.
I don't have to work till like noon tomorrow, so I mean I can stay up.
I don't have
to
work till anything. So with that, guys, we're gonna go wrap up the show because Jason's yawning pretty big over there. Find friends of the show for the love of gaming, noquarters.net. What's their other podcast?
Oh my god.
BMFcast.com and TBGP.tv. They do great things.
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Search for us on iTunes and Stitcher. Rate us and love us, guys. Also find our Twitch channel, which we're trying to utilize more, /TheRealTiltcast, and the YouTube channel is also TheRealTiltcast.
So that, we're going to get off this motherfucking show. Jason can sleep.
And jump in a motherfucking volcano, because... At least then I get some rest.
No, you just die.
Yeah, well, he won't
Death
care.
Death is rest.
He won't care. All right. That's it.
We'll
We're done.
We'll see you guys in a couple weeks, and we will release more videos.
All right. Peace.